Friends, don't be alarmed, but the Apostle Paul has as one of his primary lessons for the churches in Rome that in God there are no boundaries, there are no more distinctions made among people. And so it feels like a faithful and terrifying practice to proclaim Paul's word by lessening the distance between us as that word is proclaimed. So bear with me. If this hovering around you makes you a little nervous, it does me too. So, but today we join Paul's letter to the churches in Rome, which was, of course, a place of power and plight. The Roman Empire was approaching its apex in its grandeur when the Apostle Paul began to plan his trip to Rome. There was one serious deficit going on in Rome. There was no good and lasting religion, no appropriate level of spirituality, no good morality. Romans had been influenced by the Greek civilization they had conquered, mostly by Greek philosophy and their religion of many gods, as you know, but had mostly co-opted these as tools, as means of controlling the people of the expanding empire. Roman cultural allegiances were not to ultimate truth or things divine, but to the emperor and to the empire itself. And as a result, Roman civilization was religiously and morally bankrupt in ways that all could see. Not only were Romans everywhere prone to behaving badly, but they were also hard to convince of anything. There was no argument you could make to shift Roman thinking about things. And so Paul, a Christian missionary, was writing to introduce himself to these covert house churches lying low in Rome, in this world's most dangerous city at the time, to encourage and to teach them and also to equip them for the particular challenge of bringing the good news of the gospel into such a place. Because something extraordinary and revelatory has happened in Christ, and he has this particularly difficult context in which to preach Christ, Paul rather brilliantly keeps as his focus in this letter to the Romans, the focus of the entire letter is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is a way of accessing something that can't be accessed by reason or by power and force of will. Faith, of course, is a way of accessing by receiving in wonder. In this case, the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. By faith, you try it out. You stick it out. You trust it and see if the claim of grace isn't true about God and the way of things. Faith, Paul says, is how you access the truth of claims in Christ. And this is why Paul's letter to the Romans is both such an important and also such an elusive letter in our scriptures for our time. Because we, too, don't we, live in a culture where Christianity exists in a marketplace of ideas out there, competing with a variety of claims about what's ultimately important and how we should be. But the truth revealed in Jesus Christ doesn't win or convince immediately in a marketplace of ideas, because it has to be lived and experienced in faith in order to be proven true. So if anybody's going to be persuaded by the good news of God's sacrificing and saving love for the world, they're first going to have to submit to the wondrous and real world that a revelation such as Christ opens up. And Paul goes on to say to the churches in Rome what that wondrous and real place Christ reveals is really like. And he says it this way in what we've heard today. He says it's different now. It's different now because in Jesus Christ, Now we know. Now we know who God is and what God is like. For in Jesus, we come to see that God is relentless. God is self-giving. God is trustful about what is to come. Now we know who God is and what God is like definitively because of Christ. And Paul goes on to say, now we know who we are too and what we are like. For in Jesus, we know definitively that we are beloved creatures, creations of God in whom God invests. God came to be one of us. In Jesus, we know that we're created to have a far greater capacity than we have yet fulfilled. In Jesus, we know that we are given the gift of grace, the gift that God sees us not as we are typically, but as we can yet be. In Jesus, we know we're not confined to our past, but are instead free, set free of our limits and our fears, free to get things right as we've now been shown in Him. In Jesus, we know that we are set right, not by our own efforts, but by God's effort for us. It is not by faith or by works that we earn God's love. God's love just is. It's just there, eternally. And in Jesus, we know that while we don't earn God's love, we can accept and believe in God's love as was revealed by Jesus Himself. And when we do accept that love, when we do receive what Christ has revealed for all, we make God's love effective upon us and through us. God doesn't respond to what we do. We respond to what God has already done for you and me and everyone. Our lives get in step with God and all others by letting God set the pace, not by proudly or anxiously trying to run the parade for ourselves. In Jesus, we know that we're put right with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ for good works. When God gets hold of us and we know God is here loving in every moment, then God begins to work on us. God comes and actually lives inside of us, and we let God free to come forth from us. And we start to become more loving and kind and giving people. Now, we also know in Christ definitively who others are and how we are to be with others. In Jesus, we know that there is no distinction between people in the eyes of God, however hard that may be to conceive, for we are all gifted, beloved sinners. And so drawing lines and building walls and casting judgments, this is our fallen business, not God's risen business. In Jesus, we know that it is God's express risen business to cross boundaries, to bridge divides, to lift up the lowly, to make the sick well, to help people to see, and to help proclaim the coming of God's thorough and total reign on earth, for which we must all prepare the way. It's our fallen business to keep to and only be concerned about ourselves. But in Jesus, we know that it is God's risen business to do away with insiders and outsiders, because there's only one God. God sets right all who welcome and become part of God's faithful activity for others in the world, whether those are part of our religious system or not. In Jesus, we know that by putting on that proper way of life, just like He did, by living the right way, different than the world would dictate for us, humble and faithful and serving, We will justify the God who is loving and willing the world to change. I think one of the best lived examples in our era of this claim that Paul makes is Saint Teresa of Calcutta herself. She, of course, as most of us know, devoted her life to the selfless service of those whom the world had typically cast out, the lepers, the diseased, those whom no one anywhere seemed to have a thought or care. The center of her life was not to build programs in support of these people, it was to build relationships with each person whom she perceived the world was leaving behind. She once said that the biggest disease in the world today, and this is coming from someone who had seen a lot of raging disease in her life, she said the biggest disease in the world today is the feeling of being unwanted or uncared for and deserted by everyone. She, of course, devoted her life to making sure that everyone she met felt cared for and wanted and claimed by another person and therefore by God. And she didn't always understand or feel confident about the reality of God. We learned this later in her life as her diaries revealed a deeper and more layered version of the faith that she carried into her life. And I don't know if any of you had a chance to read her words in her own voice, but the gift of them, I think, is actually contained in the doubt that she admits. For in light of everything that she had seen and all the hardship and awful that she had seen in the world, and as she questioned how God could be real in the midst of such suffering, she continued to devote her life to caring for, to working in these places where that she found so confounding. She modeled in an extraordinary way for us that following anyway, just sticking it out in faith, carrying on, doing the best we know how because we follow Him, doing so allows for Christ to be revealed to you again and again, even when we waver. And certainly it allows for Christ to be revealed through you again and again as you model God's way for others. Saint Teresa modeled for all to see that it is by faith and by sticking it out that the God already inside us gets to come out and play. It is by letting God free from us. When we submit to Christ and follow His loving, self-giving way for others, that you start to love people in ways you had no idea were possible. Teresa admitted this again and again in her life. She could not understand how it was that she was to be the bearer of such love in public for all the world to see. When we do this following, as she's shown, we're blessed by the work we do and the new people we receive in ways that far exceeds the good we do. And those blessings that come by living as Christ did remind us that it's not us, but it's God who does the work. And it's up to us to respond to the love that God, by grace, freely gives to all. Here gathered today, we, St. Luke's Church, we Christians, we pray and trust that by following Christ, as Teresa herself did, that we can come to understand, as she came to understand, that, as she famously said, all I do, it is not me. It is Christ living inside of me. It is the love of Christ living inside of me that makes all the difference for me and for anything I have to do with the world. We now know, says Paul, things about God in Jesus Christ. Put on, he says, put on the good news of the gospel, of God's grace for everyone. Try it out and see what happens. For nothing can resist the coming reign of God in the world. Nothing, not even whatever. not even me. Thank God. Amen.